Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment for the live broadcast today of The Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can check out the archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and americanfreedomradio.com. Video versions of the shows get uploaded to the YouTube channel Mr. News Guerrilla Media. Now, Jan Irvin is my very special guest coming on and, basically defending himself and defending his own research, which he's put countless hours and years actually into, which I didn't even read in my ignorance. And basically, I'm an inept radio show host. Okay, I'm not afraid to admit that. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of doing it on the fly here. And so when this kind of thing comes out, to me, it's like, oh, it's just a radio show and we're talking about stuff and I'm listening to it. But to Jan, it's a massive, fracking, fallacious attack on everything that he's done for like the past couple of years. And it's so offensive and so angering that it's just, you got to freaking put this public to bed and get it sorted, maybe? I don't know. Is that what's happening on here?
Let me just say that, you know, to me, okay, using logic and critical thinking, we should always check people's claims before we send their information downstream because, you know, without checking the information, like when I was on your show last year discussing the Trivium, and we talked about sending mental viruses downstream, infecting others with all of this information. Now, this guy, you know, and it looks like he's probably working with Simon Powell and Johnny Enoch and these others who are intentionally putting out disinformation about my work. But these guys, all of them, go around and make up lies and attack me. They never attack the work. And to be honest, you know, usually I wouldn't even deal with this stuff. I've had some, you know, several people today write me and say, you know, let's just deal with this and get it over with. You know, because half, you know, there will be dum-dums out there who will think that, you know, because I didn't respond on your show, even if I wrote a response and published it and everything, that somehow, you know, my work is all wrong and this stuff. But, you know, it's more to do with, you know, people hearing the truth and removing fallacies from their thinking and just simply fact-checking citations and understanding them clearly and properly and not taking them out of context like this guy has done page after page after page after page of material. You know, and you know, one thing that I found really interesting was, you know, in your, and by the way, I should mention that I've only heard so far the first 35 minutes of your talk with him. I haven't even finished it yet. So everything we're talking about today is only his first 35 minutes of your interview, and I've yet to get to the rest of it. So I need to make that clear. But one thing that I found really interesting was his statement about how, you know, Carl Ruck praised his scholarship and he read this totally buttered up thing. I haven't written Carl Ruck yet to verify his email or if he fabricated that as well. But now I just have lost my train of thought here. But, oh, geez. So, you know, Carl Ruck and all of these guys, Carl Ruck wrote this 15-page addendum. He doesn't talk about Ruck writing this 15-page addendum that's published in this book. He uses Ruck as this example to prop up how great a scholar he is. Meanwhile, you know, his earlier messages to me were attacking everyone in the field and actually attacking Carl Ruck also, saying that I was Carl's assistant. And then now suddenly, you know, when I showed how idiotic that statement was, he changed it a bit, that you know, Carl was his pal and then I'm attacking him. But what he omits is that, you know, he sent two very different emails to Carl and to myself. And so, you know, when he sends me an email attacking me and using a whole bunch of name calling and stuff, here's his first email to me, February 16, 2013, 8:13 a.m. Looks like someone got caught red-handed making an argument from ignorance. And then he puts the link to his website. There's no place to hide anymore. You sure to learn Latin. Okay, and like I said, his attack on Trivium, I mean, it's just this ridiculous nonsense. Instead of posing with your overuse of argumentum ad ignorantium, because you are about to look really foolish, please see Appendix 2 and answer my questions. I will not respond otherwise. Checkmate, amateur. That's his first email to me. And then he complains about my response to him. Now, several days before that, I get an email from someone calling themselves Indra, And he says, just want you to know that an ex-tutor of my brother's is mentally unstable and bashing Jan on Facebook, complete with posting names of people he claims have emailed him, calling him names and insulting him. Be careful, because Tom, who is a Greepa weigher on FB, is disturbed and not and should not be worked with on any projects. This came on February 14, 2013 at 9:40 a.m. So, you know, I'm already given a warning by a former associate of his telling him, you know, telling me not to interact with this guy, that he's a loon. I break down his entire argument point by point, and I sent that to him on, let me see, I'm just checking it here, on February 16, 2013 at 12:44 p.m. So he got a response, a detailed response, like probably 6 or 8 pages of material on that same day. And he responded to a few points of it with fallacies, again attacking me. And he, and then at the end of his argument, he says, you know, your whole thing is just, you know, trying to build this argument. It's so hard to see, you know, and it's like, well, if you would just read the argument and everything in context and not distort it, you would see the argument there. But, you know, then he, what he does is he attacks me, he attacks John Rush, Clark Heinrich, and everybody else in the whole field because of this one citation that was to, you know, from Chris Bennett to the Bodleian Alchemy text instead of a Christian bestiary. But like I said earlier, if it's a bestiary, that's more support for our evidence. And he doesn't explain, other than, you know, by magic, how salamanders survive fire and get their poison into the tree, and how the guy's eating it, holding his head with something in his hand looking like a mushroom, with the tree looking like a mushroom, with the very beginning of the book or of that section discussing the amalgamation of blue and red mushrooms. Now, this whole section here is filled with examples of mushroom amalgamations. We're not saying this is one or the other, etc. We're saying that many of these are amalgamations. So you have to be able to, I mean, you know, you have to be able to see and look through some of this stuff. You know, like the front cover of my book is actually Jesus depicted as a mushroom riding on the back of St. Christopher. Now, this was verified, and this image is from Montferrand du Perigord, France, a Christian chapel there. And I think it's 14th or 15th century, could be 13th. I don't want to misstate myself. Got to check the citation so that people like Thomas don't go crazy if I accidentally state things, you know, something off by 100 years there. But we had a mycologist actually identify the type of mushroom, and then on top of that, it was discovered growing outside the chapel. Now, again, we have all of these other images showing the mushroom here. Why doesn't he bring up any of this stuff? Why doesn't he talk about any of these many other images showing the mushroom? Here's a big red Amanita cap looking down from the top.
Could you give us a number, Jan? Just how many pictures of mushrooms are in that book, and how many did Tom actually take up and argue against? He only argued against one of them.
I remember hearing him something about starting to attack another image, like saying it'd be Latin and then something, you know, so I'm not sure which one he was talking about exactly. But this book publishes 42 or 43 images. Now, we have over 2,000, and then John Rush published in his book, The Mushroom and Christian Art, an additional 200 images that I did not publish in this book. And so, and, you know, his other book, Failed God, etc., has additional. Now, Gerrit Keyser, who's a ethnomycologist from Holland, he's a Dutch ethnomycologist and psychologist there. He has literally just published a whole new book providing a whole lot of new research and citations. And John Rush and I, and this is an academic researcher out of Europe, and John Rush and I are probably the two most cited people in this book. And he's going through all of these churches and cathedrals, etc., all over Europe, and talking about our work and his own researches into this and showing how it is, in fact, correct and how he can identify these specific mushrooms growing in this in these areas. But yeah, I mean, you know, Thomas literally took one image or possibly two and then goes on and on for hours about it. Now, in the beginning of my book is 100 and some pages going through line by line of all of the academic attacks that we found against Allegro. Now, I can't remember, like I said, where that attack was that was published the same week in the newspaper in England. But, you know, if he takes the points of those arguments and realizes that they're fallacious and all of this information and realizes that these scholars could not have studied thoroughly Allegro's work in such a short amount of time and written a thorough, you know, done a thorough study of all of those citations and done a thorough review. There's just no way. And not only that, why didn't these academics publish this attack in an academic journal? Why did they need to do it in the newspapers themselves, which they're attacking Allegro for? You know, so there's all of this kind of silly stuff and Tom's arguments. But, you know, one thing I want to know, Tom also attacks me for saying that Robert Price came out and was endorsing some of Acharya S.'s work. Well, it turns out, you know, early on, Robert Price did, in fact...
Well, Jan, we've come to the end of the show here. We've got about 30 seconds while the music playing. Sure. Are you able to continue this?
Real quick, if I may. No?
We've got about 20 seconds if you want to get it away quickly.
Anyway, Robert Price's quote is there, and he says, quote, "I find myself in full agreement with Charia S. Dia Murdoch regarding her book Christ in Egypt." And, of course, again, Tom omits that as well.
Okay. All right, Jan Irvin, ladies and gentlemen. Jan, are you able to continue this conversation off-air so we can record that and publish it as a supplementary to this interview as well?
Sure, but I would like to finish the rest of his screed before I do so.
Sure, not a problem. All right, Vinny Eastwood Show listeners, we'll have a Skype call then with Jan Irvin starting in about maybe 10 minutes, and we'll start a regular Skype call in about 5, so we can sit here and listen to him and basically play the part of the audience, so you can get me on Skype. Vincent.Eastwood is his Skype account. We'll be right back.